See if we can get plugged in to talk shoe. Got the recording going. I just got to get into my back office so I can unmute the microphones. Had to see. We got some more that have joined us on Facebook. Okay, we're going to go ahead and have Brother Mark Phillips read some scripture for us. Then we're going to sing a couple hymns and we'll be on our way.
Hebrews 11:1-6. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts. By it he being dead yet speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found, because God had translated him, for before his translation he had this testimony, he pleased God. But without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he works, and that he is a rewarder of them diligently seek him.
Well, thank you, Mark.
Yes.
The first hymn we're going to sing is page 173, O God, Our Help in Ages Past. O God, our help in ages past, our home for years to come, our shelter from the stormy blast, and our eternal home. Under the shadow of thy throne, still may we well secure. Sufficient is thine arm alone, and our defense is sure. Before the hills in order should, or earth receives her frame, from everlasting thou art God, to endless years the same. O God, our help in ages past, our hope for years to come, be thou my guide while life shall last, and our eternal home. Let's just go across this page there to 174. As thirst the heart for water brooks. Sing that. That's taken from Psalm 42, and it's written by William Bradbury. As thirst the heart for water brooks, so thirst my soul, God, for thee. It seeks for God and ever looks, and longs the living God to see, and longs the living God to see. Far from the force of God, my tears have been my food by night and day. Why constantly with bitter sneers, where is thy God, the scoffers say? Where is thy God, the scoffers say? With grief I think of days gone by, when oft I trod the hallowed way, to Zion praising God I, with throngs who kept the holy day, with throngs who kept the holy day. Oh, why art thou cast down, my soul, and why so troubled shouldst thou be? both thou and God and him extol, who gives his saving help to me, who gives his saving help to me.
Okay, the psalm we're going to do today is page 67, Psalm 36b. Thy mercy, Lord, extends to them. Thy faithfulness the sky. Thy justice is like mounts of God. Thy judgments testify. Lord, thou preservest man and beast. How precious, God, thy grace. Beneath the shadow of thy wings, men and sons their trust shall place. They with the bounty of grass shall be well satisfied. From rivers full of thy delights, thou dost their dream provide. Because the fountain filled with life is only found with thee, and in that purest light of thine we clearly light shall see. To them that know thee evermore, thy loving kindness show. And still on men of upright heart, thy righteousness bestow. Let not the foot of pride crush me, nor wicked hands be tamed. Their evil doers fall to stand, they cannot rise again. Well, again, we want to welcome all of the Facebook friends that have joined us this morning. It's good to see you're with us. James Sultan, welcome aboard. Nure Kodasawaro, welcome aboard. And the rest of you that I can't see you, you're still as much welcome as anyone else. We also welcome Rosette, my wife, Mark Phillips, and we welcome Babs. And we also welcome Brother Carl if he happens to be listening out there on the river this morning. I'm going to go over and unmute Brother Mark's mic, and I've just done that. Good morning, Brother Mark.
Good morning. Good morning, saints and brothers and sisters. How are we all doing today?
We're doing. We're doing all right, by the grace of God.
Amen.
Brother Mark has agreed this morning to lead us in our worship services. He's got some things that the Lord has laid on his heart. And so I'm going to kind of just turn that over to him. And I'm thankful that he is able to kind of fill in. Brother Carl was unable to be with us this morning. And so Brother Mark very much agreed that he would kind of help out this morning. So with that, I'm going to turn it over to you, Brother Mark.
Thank you, brothers. Thank you, brother. God bless our saints listening in, wherever you may be this morning. May Jehovah, the God of all comfort, meet you at the point of your need, whatever that may be. Yes, Brother Carl had to go back to work today, and his absence is very noticeable, and we miss him. Our prayers are for safety and providence are with him. Okay, this morning I wanted to look at a wonderful chapter in the book of, or in the epistle or letter, if you will, to Galatians. Chapter 4 of Galatians. Let me put my glasses on here. What I like about this chapter is that it has, in the latter half of the chapter, it shows a clear distinction between the old covenant or the Old Testament, or the Old Covenant, if you will, of the law, which genders death and cannot save, and it clearly distinguishes that with the New Testament, which we are in, the covenant of grace, a new and better covenant, which after we are come to it from being driven to it by the law, as which recognizes our sin or forces us to recognize our sin, the new covenant is where we are now, praise God. And so there's a little bit of a historical background. This Galatians chapter 4 has a little historical background from Genesis chapter 16, where Abraham and Sarai, and this is right before Genesis chapter 17, where God makes his covenant with Abram and Sarai and changes their name to Abraham and Sarah. But in Genesis chapter 16, I'm not going to read it, but what happens is that Sarai comments to Abraham that the Lord has not given her children. And so what Abraham does, he takes her Egyptian servant. This is after they were in the land of Canaan for 10 years. And so Abraham takes Hagar, her Egyptian servant, Sarai does, and says, go in to Abraham that I may have children. And this all happens, and Abraham conceives with Hagar after he went into her. And then this causes immediate friction between Hagar and Sarai, and Hagar runs away. And then an angel of the Lord finds her out in the wilderness where she had ran away. And the angel of the Lord says, everything's, you know, relax, everything's going to be okay, go back and submit thyself to her. And the angel of the Lord said, I'm going to give you an heir, and he will have multiple, and in verse 10 of Genesis 16, and the angel of the Lord said unto her, I will multiply thy seed exceedingly, that it shall not be numbered for multitude. So it turns out that that was Ishmael, and he was a wild and crazy guy. And in verse 12 of Genesis 16, and he will be a wild man, and his hand will be against every man, and every man's hand will be against him. So the Lord, it's like the Lord kind of made a confession here because of what was going on. But still in the latter half of Galatians 4, we're going to see that even though the Lord did this, it still was not going to be Ishmael and Hagar that were in the covenant of promise. So now that we've covered that little historical background, I proceed. Let's see, we got Galatians chapter 4, about 31 verses. So let's see, do you want to do the first 15 verses, Larry, and then I can finish off and we can take it from there, see how it goes.
All right, that sounds good. Galatians chapter 4, from the King James, authorized King James Version of the Bible.
Yes.
Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all. But he is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father. Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because we are sons, God has sent forth his Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son, and of a son than an heir of God through Christ. Howbeit then, when ye knew not God, ye did service unto them which by nature are no gods. But now, after that ye have known God, or rather are known of God, how turn ye again to the weak and beggarly elements whereunto ye desire again to be in bondage. Ye observe days and months and times and years. I am afraid of you, lest I have bestowed upon you labor in vain. Brethren, I beseech you, be as I am, for I am as you are. You have not injured me at all. You know how through infirmity of the flesh I preached the gospel unto you at the first. And my temptation which was in my flesh you despised not, nor rejected, but received me as an angel of God, even as Christ Jesus. Where is then the blessedness you spake of? For I bear you record that if it had been possible, ye would have plucked out your own eyes and have given them to me.
Thank you, Brother Larry. That's very good. Very good. Let's see. You want to make some commentary, and then I can make some commentary, okay. And then we can do the last part of the chapter.
Okay, we can do that. Well, I remember a number of years ago, I had developed a pretty close relationship with Richard Burnett. He is a Roman Catholic priest, but God gloriously saved Richard Bennett. I don't know why I said Burnett, Richard Bennett. And he was talking to me one time on the phone, talking about all of his experiences in Roman Catholicism and how that God had brought him out of it. And he shared this particular verse 6 with me of chapter 4 here, and he talked about what a tremendous impact it had upon him. Because ye are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. He also got a book, and he was recommending that I read it, and I did get it, and I have read it, and I would recommend it to other people. It's by Flavel, F-L-A-V-E-L. And Flavel deals in depth with this subject regarding Abba Father. Notice that there's an inseparable connection between the fact that he is our Abba Father and that he is our adopted father. He adopted us into the family of God. And mm-hmm. Says at one time we were a servant, but now we have changed positionally in Christ. We're no longer a servant, but a son. And that gives Amen. Us certain that gives us tremendous privileges that no one else has, a son of God, a father that we can cry out to, Abba Father. And so that really has stuck with me over the years. It was a blessing that he shared that with me. He goes on and says that, I love verse 9. We've talked about this before. After ye have known God, it's like Paul stops and says, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Or rather, are known of God. I like the way he corrected himself there. Or rather, he didn't want to get anybody off on the Arminian track. Okay.
Yep.
That ye have known God, or rather are known of God. We have obtained salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. We have obtained it. It's a gift. He goes Amen. On and talks how that you know that through the beginning of this book of Galatians, Paul tells us who he's addressing in verse 2, all the brethren which are with me under the churches of Galatia. That's who he's talking to. So he tells them that they have returned to the weak and beggarly elements. And what's he referring to? He's referring to those who are observing days and months and times and years.
Amen.
And you see that today, don't we? I mean,
oh yeah.
Whether it's poop, I don't even know all the names. Right now there's one out there, it's called Pulum or something like that. What is it, brother? I don't know what it's called. But anyway, Pulum, and then you got the Feast of Tabernacles, and you got Feast of Trumpets.
Oh. Purim.
All of the Purim. Okay, Purim. You got Lent. You know. And so nothing's changed. People are still all wrapped up in the Hebrew Roots Amendment and all that stuff.
Yep.
He says, I'm afraid of you lest I bestowed upon you labor in vain. In other words, that has nothing to do with the gospel. That's the old law service. And that's what
Amen.
He's talking about. He's showing in contradistinction the child of God through the grace of God, opposed to those who are still trying to walk according to the old law service.
Amen.
And that's really what I have to say about that portion, brother. I'll turn it back over to you.
Very good, brother. Very good. That's very true and very relevant. Yes, I really like these first three verses here. It talks about how, you know, the heir, as long as he is a child, differing nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all. Back in the days of the kings and the queens and all of that, they would have the heir to the kingdom that would take over when the current king was all done with his reign and was advanced in years. And, you know, we've all seen it in these pseudo-historical movies from Hollywood and all of that nonsense, you know, that the heir is given the best of everything, the best schooling, the best clothes, the best friends, the best everything, like it says in verse 2, but is under tutors and governors until the time appointed to the father. And so then in verse 3, it compares that in this natural world, this world of evil that we're in, and in verse 3, it compares that to us, the children, the elect saints of God. Verse 3, even so, when we were children, we were previously were in bondage under the elements of the world. And so it's the same way for us, but in a spiritual sense. And then in verse 4, he goes, but when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under law. And so that's the start of the new covenant for us, the new and better covenant, which replaces the old law service, like you said, Brother Larry. Verse 5, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. Praise God for that adoption. And then verse 6, you know, because we are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. And then verse 7 is awesome. We're no longer servants, but sons. And then because we are a son of God, because of him, not because of anything we've done, because we are a son, then we are an heir of God through Christ. Isn't that awesome? That is so comforting to me. It's not based on anything I've done. So then in verse 8, he says, you know, when you were under the, you know, old things of the world, you know, we were serving things which by nature are not God. You know, it's amazing. The traditions, you know, the weak and vagary elements of the world, you know, observing days and months and seasons, you know, and what was I thinking of? The old things, you know, the traditions of men that make void the word of God, you know. We see it every year, multiple times of year, like at Easter time, you know, Thanksgiving, Christmas, Valentine's Day, all of these ridiculous things that have nothing to do with Christianity. And so, praise God, you know, because of Christ and his amazing thing that he did. We don't have to get caught up in any of that nonsense, because it really has nothing to do with the finished work of Christ on the cross, making the atonement for his elect saints of God, and only his elect saints of God. It's just so awesome and comforting to me. It's wonderful. Did you want to say something else, Brother Larry?
No. I think you covered that very well.
Thank you, brother. Thank you. I before we do this, you know, in my time right before this, I pray for the enabling of the Spirit, because I feel inadequate for this task, and I don't want to rest in my abilities anyway. All right. Well, praise. It's wonderful. All right. With that, I'm going to continue now in verse 16 to verse 31 to finish out this chapter. Now, in these upcoming verses, we're going to see the clear distinction between the Old Covenant, Hagar and Ishmael, which represents the children of bondage, and Sarah and Isaac, which represents the covenant of promise, which we are in. So, Galatians chapter 4 in the Authorized King James Version only, verse 16 to 31. Okay, verse 16. Am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? Verse 17. They zealously affect you, but not well. Yea, they would exclude you that you might affect them. Verse 18, but it is good to be zealously affected always in a good thing, and not only when I am present with you. Verse 19, my little children, of whom I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you. Verse 20, I desire to be present with you now and to change my voice, for I stand in doubt of you. Tell me, ye that desire to be under the law, do ye not hear the law? Verse 22, for it is written that Abraham had two sons. Here we go into the distinction here. Verse 22, for it is written that Abraham had two sons, the one by a bondmaid, that be Hagar, the other by a free woman, that be Sarah. And verse 23, but he who was of the bondwoman was born after the flesh, but he of the free woman was by promise. Verse 24, which things are an allegory, for these are the two covenants, the one from Mount Sinai, which gendereth to bondage, which is Hagar or Agar. Verse 25, for this Agar is Mount Sinai in Arabia, and answereth to Jerusalem, which now is and is in bondage with her children. Verse 26, but Jerusalem, which is above, is free, which is the mother of us all. Verse 27, for it is written, rejoice, thou barren that bearest not, break forth and cry, thou that travailest not, for the desolate hath many more children than she which hath an husband. Verse 28, now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of promise. There it is. Verse 29, but as then he that was born after the flesh persecuteth him that was born after the Spirit, even so it is now. Nevertheless, verse 30, nevertheless, what saith the Scriptures? Cast out the bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. Verse 31, so then, brethren, we are not children of the bondwoman, but of the free. Isn't that awesome? That is awesome. Are not in bondage under the old covenant. I find that truly awesome. So, let's see. Yeah, the Apostle Paul is, you know, he's saying to them, what is your problem? Am I your enemy just because I'm telling you the truth? You know, they zealously affect you, but not for good, not well. Yeah, they would exclude you that you might affect them. That's awesome. And then he's saying, but it is good to be zealous. zealously affected, always in a good thing, and not only when I'm present with you. And then, you know, the Apostle Paul is saying that he wants to be with them. And then he says, you know, then he confronts these people that want to go with the law. You know, verse 21. Tell me that ye that desire to be under the law, do you not hear the law? He's saying, if you know, I'm reminded of that other scripture that except your righteousness exceed that of the Pharisees, you shall in no case enter the kingdom of God. That's mm-hmm. the thing. You know, I used to know a guy 20 years ago. I used to know a guy, a Jewish fellow, and he was always trying to, you know, do that, be under the law. And his health was really bad. He was always tired and everything. And his apartment was a mess, you know. And he was always trying to do something of the old law service, as you referred to it, Brother Larry. And so then in verse 22, it goes into the distinction here. Sarah bearing Isaac, that's the covenant of promise, and Hagar bearing Ishmael, the wild guy whose hand was against every man and every man's hand against him. So this is a wonderful, it makes it so clear the distinction between the two covenants. It makes it crystal clear. It's wonderful. And with that, praise God, I will turn it over to my brother Larry for some additional commentary. Praise God.
Thank you. Very good. That was very good. And I agree with you. There are those out there that are continuing to be in bondage to the law, and many of those people are in so-called churches that are, you know, the whole body is in bondage to the law. And
yes.
It's nice to be able to be in a situation that God has placed us where we can proclaim liberty and not be bondage to denominations or to creeds or confessions or synods and sessions. Okay.
Amen.
Our allegiance is to Christ alone. And here he tells us that, I find this quite interesting. He says, like Brother Mark said, am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? You know, a lot of people, cannot handle the truth. And when you start proclaiming the truth of God's word, they want to take a hike. And a lot of them no longer consider you to be their friend, okay? And we're talking on Facebook today, and I can tell you that on a weekly basis, I probably have about 30 friends leave. And then I just add new friends, but that's why it's happening. That's why 120 friends are leaving Facebook, being my friend on Facebook every month.
Yes.
That's about 1,400 a year, is because mm-hmm. they want to hear the truth. They don't want to hear the truth. God's grace separates.
Yep.
And he says here that, tell me in verse 21, tell me ye that desire to be under the law. You know, the law was a schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. The law did nothing. The law did nothing more, like Brother Mark said, the law did nothing more than to show us our need of a Savior. That was the purpose
That's
of
right.
it.
Yep.
And then it goes back into the two sons things. Now, we also see the same kind of example in Romans 9, where we have two sons, twins, that were in Rebekah's womb. We have Esau and Jacob. Another example of one who which was a recipient of God's grace, and the other one, which was not. Okay? And we find that in Malachi, that the first chapter of Malachi, that God says that he is going to lay Esau's heritage waste.
Yeah.
Well, this is another example of those who are trying to work their way to salvation. It reminds me of the two sons in the earlier chapter of Genesis, Cain and Abel.
Yeah.
You know, Abel brought the firstlings of his flock. He understood substitutionary atonement. He understood blood sacrifice. He understood that without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins. Cain brought the works of his hands. Okay? This is the same thing. He was into the old law. He was into law service. Now we see that in verse 29, he that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the spirit. That's what happened with Cain and Abel. Abel was born after the spirit, and Cain was born after the flesh. And he persecuted Abel. Cain persecuted him. Finally, he killed him. Well, he says here, cast out the bondwoman and her son. Well, you know what? I think that's what we need to do.
Yes.
Now Facebook didn't like that very well. They just cut it off. So I'm going to go back. I'm going to go back on and yeah, right there, they cut it off. They didn't want to hear that.
Oh, there it is. Yep, now I'm getting it. Yep.
Yeah.
Oh, boy, isn't that interesting?
Cast out the bond. They don't want to hear it. They don't want to hear it. They don't want to hear the truth.
Yeah. Oh, there it goes. Oh, now they're saying it's ended it. Wow.
Yeah, well, I'll bring it back
okay.
Up here.
Okay.
Let's see.
We got it.
Yeah, go
ahead. Where did it go? There we go.
We should be back momentarily. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so we're back now. Where I was at is cast out the bondwoman and the son of the bondwoman. Now, he ends there and says, brethren, we are not children of the bondwoman. Now, we also can see the same issue with the, and I know people probably think that I am somewhat redundant, but we have the Jew who is circumcised of heart, and we have the Jew who is trusting in his physical circumcision. That's another good example of what is being demonstrated here. He is not a Jew who is one outwardly, but inwardly circumcision of the heart. This is what we're talking about. Those who are trying to hold on to their genealogy, to their works, whatever it is, notice in the first verse of the next chapter, I think this is a real good kind of a conclusion for chapter 4. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. That's just an exclamation point. You know?
Amen.
We stand in Christ alone. And in his work alone, he said he would not impute our sins unto us. Well, the reason he won't impute our sins unto us is because Christ bore our sins on the cruel and rugged cross of Calvary. And so we now have the imputed righteousness. He said, I will not impute your transgressions to you. He says, I've cast them as far as the east is from the west. I have put them in the sea of my forgetfulness. Yes, you know? Can you imagine Christ putting our sins in the sea of his forgetfulness? I like that. We remember our sins. Christ doesn't. Christ doesn't remember our sins. So that's kind of my... Yeah, I am too. Well, anyway, that's kind of my concluding remarks on that. A beautiful, beautiful passage this morning, brother. I'm glad you chose that.
Yes, yes. Thank you, brother. God bless you. Yes, thank you for bringing up Romans 9. I wanted to go over there for a short minute and look at something that's kind of related to this. And so thank you for bringing up Romans chapter 9. So in Romans 9, let's see, verse 6, 7, and 8, and 6 to 9. It's kind of related to what we're looking at here. In Romans chapter 9, in the Authorized King James Version, verse 6, not as though the word of God had taken none effect, for they are not all Israel, which are of Israel. Verse 7, neither because they are the seed of Abraham are they all children, but in Isaac, there it is, in Isaac shall thy seed be called. Not Hagar, the covenant of bondage, but Isaac, the covenant of promise. Isaac, whom Sarah bore. But in Isaac shall thy seed be called. Verse 8, that is, they which are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God, but the children of the promise are counted for the seed. There it is, a clear reference to the clear distinction between the two covenants. So that we have... In verse 8, we have on the one hand the children of the flesh, that's Hagar and Ishmael. And then on the other hand, we have the covenant or the children of promise, which is Sarah and Isaac. So there it is. We have another reference to the clear distinction between the two covenants.
Absolutely.
Isn't it awesome?
Yes, it is. Yeah, and that reminds me of it. Toward the end of that chapter, he says in verse 30, well, I better read verse 30 so we get a full understanding. What shall we say then? That the Gentiles follow not after the righteousness, have attained to righteousness, even the righteousness which is of faith. But Israel, which followed after the law of righteousness, hath not attained to the law of righteousness. Wherefore, because they sought it not by faith, but as it were by the works of the law, were they stumbled at the stumbling stone. As it is written, behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone, a rock of offense, and whosoever believe on him shall not perish. And we know that that rock, that stumbling stone, is Christ. And that's where they stumble.
Yep, the chief cornerstone. I'm reminded of that other verse, whoever stumbles over him will be broken, but on whoever that stone falls will be ground into powder. So it's amazing. When you try to tell these nominal Christians in the congregations that they've bought into a pack of lies and that it's not anything that you do, they get so mad they want to hit you, just like they tried to hit Jesus and Paul. You know, they get so angry when you tell them it's not anything that you've done. And so it's just amazing how they, like you say, they want to take a hike. You know, they go, you know, I don't want to hear it, I don't have time for that. It's just amazing.
Like Brother Chris Sternerin used to say, they want to have a hand in their salvation. They want to have a hand in it, you know. And, you know, it's interesting because he says that not by works of righteousness we have done, but through his own grace and mercy saved us. The foundation of God standeth sure. He knows who are his. And let everyone that depart, let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But it's interesting because so many people get it backwards. They say, you know, if you do all of these things, if you do good works, if you tithe, if you go on mission trips, if you sing in the choir, if you, you know, whatever it is, then you will be saved. You know, like
yes.
I said one time, I know a very prominent Roman Catholic in Kansas City. He owns five Catholic radio stations in the Kansas City, Wichita area. And
wow.
he told me one time, I am working my way to salvation. I am being saved by my good works.
Okay.
And of course I was able to share the gospel with him. Of course, again, he didn't want to hear it, but I was still able to, God opened the door, you know, where I said, hey, all of these works are filthy rags to God because you're trusting in your own works. You're not trusting in the shed blood of Jesus Christ. But that's really what we're talking about here. And, you know, I had another very prominent Roman Catholic tell me one time that his patron saint is, he prays to his patron saint, Thomas Aquinas.
Ah.
And
oh, yeah.
he said that saint was, so many people were praying to Thomas Aquinas that brought about my victory with the state of Missouri in my case. And I told him, I said, I hate to disappoint you, but God is not into necromancy. He's not into praying to the dead. Okay?
Yeah.
There's only one thing that brought about the victory in the case of Larry Phillips against the state of Missouri. It had nothing to do with American Center for Law and Justice. It had nothing to do with the golf ball shot. I'll have to tell you that one sometime. I'm not saying God isn't in all of these things. Okay? God is providentially in everything that happens. I'll just share this briefly. It's been 21 years. The American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow, of course, he's now Donald Trump's personal attorney, one of them.
Yep.
But when he took the case, they have a screening process they go to determine which cases they're going to take and which cases they're not. Now, this was shared to me by the chief counsel on the American Center for Law and Justice, which happened to be my attorney, Francis Mannion, is the person I just shared with regarding the praying to Thomas Aquinas. Or, yeah, I think, or either Thomas Aquinas, no, Francis of Assisi, I believe, was his patron saint. It doesn't matter. But anyway, he was telling me that all of the rest of the attorneys had voted against taking my case. And he said, Francis Mannion said, I think we should take Phillips' case. I think this is a landmark case and I think we should take it. And they said, well, you're outvoted. And he said, anyway, it was known throughout the American Center for Law and Justice that Francis Mannion was a terrible golfer. Terrible golfer, okay? And so all of his fellow attorneys said, we'll make a deal with you. We'll set up a putting green in the office, and you can go down at the end of the hall. You've got one shot. And if you do a hole-in-one, we'll take the Phillips case. Okay. He went down, he said, I knew right then, man, this case is history. And he said, Larry, I went down at the end of the hall. He said, I just thought, well, I might as well just succumb. We're not going to take this case. Anyway, he said, I went ahead and did the shot, and he said, that ball just went right dead in the hole. Right in the hole. And he said, all the rest of the attorneys said, there's no way we're not taking the Phillips case, okay? We're all in with you, brother. We're going to do it. Okay. Now, I just use that as an example. You know, I believe that God directed that ball, okay?
I believe
that God providentially, you know, there's a scripture in the Bible that talks about the lot being cast in the lap or whatever. God is over all things, including golf balls, okay? And I just use that as an example, okay, of the fact. And so anyway, Francis Mannion was sharing that with Now, he shared that with me in the middle of the case. He said, don't tell anybody I told you this, okay? But I can freely talk about it now. Well, listen, I've really enjoyed this message. I think it's right on. It's spot on. What we've been talking about is grace versus works. You know, that's what it is.
Yep.
And anyway, I'll turn it back over to you, brother.
Yes, yes, that's it. That's where the rubber meets the road. Is it your works or is it what Christ has done? That's right. That's the core issue of it. Anyway, and your friend who said he's working his way into heaven, I wonder if he is aware that Jesus said, accept your righteousness, or was that Paul who said that? But I wonder if he's aware of the saying of what they said, that accept your righteousness exceed that of the Pharisees, that ye shall in no wise enter the kingdom of heaven. If he says he's trying to work his way into heaven, I can only conclude from that he is not aware of the saying that except your righteousness exceed that of the Pharisees, you shall in no wise enter the kingdom of heaven.
You know probably what he would tell you, knowing him as I do. Oh, my righteousness far exceeds that of the Pharisees. Okay. You see, that's the problem. That's the problem people get into this. It's called self-justification. You know what I'm saying?
Oh,
in other words, they're not justified by the merits of Christ. They believe that they're justified by their own actions, by their own works, by their own merit. But good point.
Yep. And nothing you can say will bring them out of that, because God has ordained them to be, God has given them a strong delusion to believe the lie.
Right.
So you could reason with them and reason with them and reason with them until you're blue in the face and they won't come out of it. It's just amazing to me.
That's right. And, you know, apart from the grace of God, what Christ said is they will die in their sins, you know?
That's right.
It's amazing. And I've had quite a bit of conversation with different Roman Catholics, and they all have sort of the same modus operandi. They usually talk about the efficacy of praying to the rosary.
Oh boy.
You know, or they'll talk about, praying to Mary, worshiping Mary, or having Mary intercede for them. Had Catholics talk about how that their guardian angel is what brings them closer to God. In other words, anything apart, you know, I've sometimes asked them, why can't you trust the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? Why can't you trust the one who gave his life for the sheep? Why do you have to put your trust in Mary? Why do you have to put your trust in your guardian angel? Why do you have to put your trust in some beads hanging on your mirror, you know, in your rearview mirror in your car? I mean, it's ridiculous.
Yep.
Anyway.
Yep, it's idolatry. It is idolatry, full-on idolatry.
Yeah, it is. Well, listen, I've really enjoyed this morning, and do you have anything further to go before we go into our announcements?
Well, I just praise God. I just praise God for his enabling through the Spirit to do this, because I, like Moses said, I feel inadequate for this task, and so I just praise God for his enabling to do this, and I would say, everybody, please pray for Brother Carl that is working today, and that he would be back with us tonight and again next Sunday and on Monday and Wednesday and Thursday, and And I love that, brother. It's so amazing. They've only been with us since December 16th, and I feel so close to that, brother, and I'm so looking forward to September when we can all be together in the same room. And so I will close by saying what he says, his wonderful quote from Brother Martin Luther, peace if possible, truth at all costs. And God bless the saints this morning, wherever you are. May God meet you at the point of your need, whatever that may be, the God of all comfort that we serve. May he bless and keep you. Amen.
Amen. Well, I had a question, and maybe I don't know if you've talked with Brother Carl recently. Do you know, I know he's at work now. He, the last time I talked with him, he said he wouldn't probably be able to be with us on Sunday. Do you think he might be with us this evening?
Not sure yet. I'll try to find out and get back to you on that. But it's possible, I suppose, but I'm not sure yet.
Right. I understand that. Well, I'll tell you what. Did you have something in mind for this evening as far as message-wise?
Not really, no. We could do 1 Corinthians 12 if you want.
Well, that's fine. Why don't we do that? Why don't we just work through 1 Corinthians 12? That would be good. That way, I know that's been on your mind.
Yeah, that's been on my mind too. That was my second string choice for this morning, to use a football term. And we could go through that and we could highlight the connections on those similar verses where it talks about how only they can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit, and we could cross-reference those with verses in John 6.
Okay, let's do that. Let's plan on doing that. By way of announcement, tonight we'll be working through that passage that Brother Mark has just mentioned. And tomorrow night, Monday night, Brother Edward Henry and Brother Mark and myself and Brother Carl, if he can be with us, we're going to be discussing the man, Thomas Jefferson, and the Jefferson Bible, okay? And we're just going to talk about the difference between the inspired Word of God and all of those other translations and versions out there. And we're going to use as an example Thomas Jefferson's Bible. A lot of people don't know that Jefferson took the scissors to the Bible and cut out everything he didn't like in the New Testament and then reprinted it. Now, what are some of the things he cut out? He cut out all the miracles. He cut out the virgin birth of Christ. He did not believe in the substitutionary atonement of Christ. He was what I call a moralizer. He called himself a follower of Christ because he liked the teachings of Christ, you know, like love your neighbors, yourself, and all of those things, but he did not recognize Jesus Christ as the eternal Son of God. And so we're going to get in that tomorrow night. I think it'll be an interesting discussion. Then Wednesday night, we're going to continue working through the book, God Does Not Love Everyone, But He Does Love His Elect from Everlasting to Everlasting. And I don't know if it's 32 or 33.
We'll be on 30, Doctrine of Predestination.
Yeah, 32, okay. That should be that's one of my favorite subjects. Chapter 32 in that book. And then Thursday night, when you talk to Brother Carl, you might find out when he gets back home what his schedule is.
Sure.
Find out if he is planning on being able to do the fellowship call with you on Thursday night. I'll be there with you, brother. No problem. So And then, of course, next Sunday we'll be coming back together again. So that's pretty much our announcements. We'll be with you tonight. And so we're very thankful for everybody, Sonia Jean, Kaiser Body, Bahati, and all the rest of you that have joined us as well. We appreciate all of the comments and everything that have been made throughout the broadcast time today. And so with that, I'm pretty much through. Do you have any final thoughts, Brother Mark?
Well, I just praise God for this mission field. This is a mission field, what we're doing. Not everybody can go physically, and like you said, you know, I have nothing against all of those good works, provided you have the right perspective that those good works do not obtain salvation, but they come out of salvation. So good works in the right perspective are good. And that's about it. Praise God.
Yeah, that's what Paul says. He says, be not weary in well-doing. Brother Mark said, the good works are a result of our election and salvation and justification, not a have nothing to do with the foundation of it. In other words, we are rooted and grounded in election, predestination, and the grace of God. That's where our salvation comes from. Well, listen, thank you, Brother. May you have a blessed afternoon, and we'll go ahead and we'll plan on seeing you this evening. And with all of our, for all of our friends on Facebook, may you have a blessed afternoon. And I'm going to go ahead and end the broadcast.
Love you, brother. God bless the saints.
Love you too. See you this evening.
Yes.